Welcome to the Apartment Rockstar Podcast with Robert Martinez. In this week's episode, the Rockstar team joins Robert for part two of our discussion on digital marketing strategies.
Hi, I'm Robert Martinez, the Apartment Rockstar, and welcome to another episode of the Apartment Rockstar Podcast. Last episode, we got to talk to the teeth of Rockstar Capital, the video, the marketing team, the innovation team who generate all of our leads. But there's more. It was too much to do just for one episode. We have the rest of the team today. Hey, Ashley, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Ashley, tell everybody who you are. Let them know what you do with Rockstar Capital.
So I'm the digital and social media specialist. I deal a lot with social media on a daily basis, creating content for it, pushing out other content that's been created. I also deal with the ILSs and the websites. I make updates to when anything changes at the properties. I make updates to everywhere online. I also help out with events and just a little bit of everything.
You are a jack of all trades. You're doing a lot.
Yeah, I like it. It's a little, you know, I get to learn a lot.
That's awesome. You know, it's like I share with Tracy, and when I'm just talking, I get excited, right? Because I remember 3 years ago, your whole group didn't exist in our group. I didn't know if I had budget or not. I just didn't have the innovation or the inspiration to do it. You know, I credit visiting some of the social media gurus, specifically Gary Vaynerchuk, on helping me understand that you need to exist. And you need to exist on social media. And, you know, what started with just like a videographer then turned into like Tracy coming into the group. And then Tracy turned into like other positions within the company. And then your position was created. So tell me, everybody, a little bit more on the day-to-day what you do. Because you listed a bunch of responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. And this is amazing, right? Because I didn't know we needed this before. There's just so much going on, from branding of the communities, the personal branding of the Apartment Rockstar podcast, the Apartment Rockstar brand itself. You know, I mean, you're a big reason why we're at 24,000 followers today, you know, because of the constant moving forward. You know, we work together as a team on trying to how we're going to do the content. Tell me a little bit more about what else you do, though.
So, I mean, honestly, I can safely say every day is different. Mm-hmm. There's always something new to be done. A lot of what I do is, you know, updating all the websites and stuff. So as I'm doing audits, I will, you know, that takes time. But other things will be, you know, thrown into the mixture that I'll just, you know, somebody asks me to do something and I'll do it. So a lot of, it's hard to plan out my days, basically, because there's just like, I'm a real big team player, I feel like, and I want to be able to help anybody when they ask anything. So I really do, my days are just, you know, I have a goal of what I want to do, but then there's also always going to be stuff added to my plate, which is great. I love it. So, it's hard to say, you know, what I do on a daily basis, but it's just keeping up with all of the stuff on the websites, making sure all the information's correct. Now I'm also doing the 3D tours. So that's a big project I'm going to be working on in Q1, is making sure we have, our goal is to have all 3D tours for all floor plans at all properties done by the end of Q1.
Now we have that already, right? You're talking about the new acquisitions.
So we have it for, we don't have all floor plans for all properties. Okay. We have a majority of them, but there are a handful of ones that we're missing. And yes, they're from like new acquisitions from 2019. And, you know, as we get new properties this year. So there's not a lot for that, but we want to make sure that that's finished, because doing the 3D tours, like if the unit's not available, that's really important, and that makes us stick out.
I was about to mention that. I think, you know, is that we're telling a story, you know, so when they're there at home, right? Because a lot of the leasing today happens at home. Mm-hmm. It happens with what they're looking at, from the online reviews that drive them there to the leads that Tracy and the rest of the team help support. But then when they get there, we want them to stay on the page, right? And as much content as possible is key to keeping them on that page, right? Because the longer they're there, the stats show what? That they're probably gonna lease, they're gonna come take a tour. And most people, the more educated they are before they come to the tour, they're very likely to lease, because time's money to everybody. Nobody shows up on a Saturday morning and I'm gonna go 10 apartments. No, they find their apartments online, they figure out, and many times they lease online, but if they don't, they're gonna come visit you on a Saturday. But what makes them come in? It's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's the 3D tours, it's making sure that our product and our presentation is on point.
Yeah. And I can confirm that, because as a renter, my husband and I, like pretty recently we've been trying to figure out where our next place is going to be, and we started out looking online, so I know that's where people start, and we, you know, we made a whole list and then we cut from it and we decided which ones were worth our time going in and seeing, and a lot of it was based on what, you know, each apartment was putting out on their websites, on their social media. So I can definitely attest to that and say, as a renter, we do look at stuff like that.
So how do we compare? How do we compare to everybody else?
It's awesome. I honestly feel like there's no one else out there like us, at least in this area.
Regardless of class, right? Yeah. Of apartments, mm-hmm. whether it's an A or B or whatever.
Yeah.
You still think that our presentation is better.
Yes. Yes, of course. And I think a lot of what really helps an apartment complex is the people who are running it. I feel like I could live in an old dingy apartment in a bad area as long as I feel appreciated from the people who are running the place, and as long as I feel that my voice is heard, and if there's an issue, I know it's going to get fixed, and that's what matters to me. So I definitely feel like Rockstar does that, and I personally live at a property in Kingwood, and I love the property, but the management is just, it's not great. I don't feel like at home there. So it's definitely who's running it.
You know, I think that's a key point to what you just said. You know, I'm very fortunate. I get to live at a super nice apartment community, a high-rise tower, you know, and I pay for it. I pay for a lot of money. I pay a lot of money to live there, and I have a tremendous view and what have you. But I can tell you right now, if there weren't other factors related to me living there, I wouldn't live there. I don't like management. It's definitely, you know, and brand is everything, right? It is not one of the big names that I'm trying to compete with. It is a lesser name, and you can see the lesser product, you know. Stuff takes a long time to get fixed. You know, we've had unexpected disturbances that we shouldn't have for the price point that we're at, you know. And again, if it wasn't for other reasons, nothing to do, location, really what it is.
Yeah.
It's location for me. If it was not in a specific location that I want to be in, then I wouldn't live there. And the weird thing is that there aren't that much product that I want to stay at in that location. So it's like, what do I do? And it's not because of, you know, I'm getting a nice thank you note, or I'm getting a callback, or maintenance is crazy good. It's for other reasons. So I hear you.
Yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
So you have a unique story too, right? Because I think your story reminds me very much of Kiwi Hall, who Kiwi's one of our property managers, just mm-hmm. promoted to a new part to head up a new part of our company with short-term rentals. And she was my kid's nanny. You know, I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So she was my children's nanny first. She was our babysitter.
So you trusted her.
Tremendously.
Yeah.
And she had such a good spirit, and she reminds me of you. She had a great smile, and she was always so sweet. You know, my kids were self-contained, like they don't need stuff, but they'd always want to interact with her. And it was so interesting. And so she got an opportunity to be a property manager for us. Right. And you know, that was, I mean, you're going back 5-6 years now. And she took that same kind of spirit and became the community manager, and that property did as well as any have ever done. And we just recently sold it, you know, for a 673% return for our investors, which is literally a 96% annualized return. If you had given me $100,000 back in 2012, you know, I gave you almost a 7-to-1 cashback, you know, 7 years later. And it's all about the person sitting in the chair. And you have that kind of quality in you, but you also have a similar background, don't you?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
So Tracy Tyler, who is the VP of marketing, I was her nanny for mm-hmm. her two boys. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, got really close, and I was always unsure of what I wanted to do. I thought, no matter what, I wanted to do something with kids because that was my passion ever since I was younger. But I was just kind of stuck. And she came to me with this opportunity to come in as a contract and do social media and do some projects. And it was less than a month, and I had already decided it was what I wanted. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a part of it, and I wanted to be a part of the growth. And it was honestly one of the best decisions I ever made, and it was awesome to have that opportunity.
You are very special, Ashley, and the fact that you're you know, explaining the situation as it is and showing the emotions you are shows how committed you are, you know, and I got to surround myself with heart. I got to surround myself with winners, and you are clearly a winner. You know, you started out contract and you got a lot more responsibility, and you're getting, I mean, you have access to me every single day. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not the most important person in the company because there's other people, the people that are sitting in those chairs every day are the most important people, but I've got a pretty busy schedule, and you make it easier for me. You help me. You're always there. You always answer a text, you know, and so you're taking care of the community, the portfolio, mm-hmm. rest of that. And I just want to say thank you. You're doing a hell of a job. I can't say enough about you. I have no idea what your growth plan is or growth path is, because we're growing. I just, you know, I mean, like I was saying, your business didn't even exist 3 years ago. It didn't exist 2 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really coming on a year really or whatever that it didn't exist then, you know. And so it's like there's so much opportunity in this company, and you know, you're so young, and you know, we're gonna meet Sarah in just a minute, right? And another person who very similar, right? Just there's so much opportunity in our company, and it's great that you surround yourself with people that have tremendous work ethic and heart, who were just willing to just give it their all. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're being joined by Sarah Newman. Sarah, welcome to the Apartment Rockstar podcast.
Hey, thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. It's my first time on here, so
I know.
I'm really excited.
How's that possible? You've been with us for how long now?
10 months, nine months. Yeah.
Longer.
I know, it feels much longer, but I've loved every second of it so far.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Tell everybody what you do a little bit in a nutshell.
Yes, so I'm the corporate brand strategist. So basically what I do is I'm the voice of Rockstar Capital. I take what you say, what Tracy wants me to, you know, push to everyone, and I turn it into, you know, blog posts. I respond to Facebook messages, Instagram messages. I speak with our employees, learn their stories, and tell, you know, because there's a ton of stories in Rockstar.
So you're a storyteller.
Yes.
Do you ever think you'd be a storyteller? So what is your background?
So my background is in multi-platform journalism from Sam Houston State University.
Great university for a journalism degree, right?
Yes,
that's what I've heard.
So with that, I have a minor in marketing, so that's what I am doing now. But I've always written stories. I've always been a story writer just in my free time. So I'm not surprised that this is what I'm doing now, and I really enjoy it as well. So
go back, let's say, 2 years ago. You're still in school, right?
Yes.
Okay. What did you envision your first job or your first employment in the real world, the adult world, was going to be?
I was pretty confused at that point. I started as a criminal justice major, switched to finance, and then switched to mass comm at Sam Houston. So I was not too sure what I wanted to do, but I knew I really loved writing. And so mass comm encompasses a lot of things, like broadcast news, journalism, and public relations. So at that time, I thought I was going to be more on the public relations side of a team. But marketing is also something that I really enjoy, because it's also part of storytelling and creating relationships with your, you know, potential customers. And so that's what I got this opportunity, a message on LinkedIn, and I said, you know what, I'll go for it.
Wow, so that's how they found you on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Yeah, because we found you through a recruiter, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and again, you know, it's funny, we were very hungry for your position, and I remember we actually hired, we're going to get one, mm-hmm. right? I want a writer on the team. I want someone to help us tell our story. Mm-hmm. And then we kept interviewing each of you, you know, and it's like everybody was so good. And it was like, okay, we can do two. And then I think, I'm not sure where the last one was. I think it was John, you know. And I'm like, oh, no, what are we going to do here? And, you know, like, you know what? It's okay. We're going to grow into this. And so I said, I'm serious about this. I don't want to say gamble, because that's not the right word, but I'm committed to this. So let's create the budget and let's hire all three of you, right? And my thought process is that, you know, the cream will rise to the crop. And we'll figure out who can do this, right? And in the end, two of you rose to the top, right? Which has been fantastic, right? So, you know, I didn't realize how much there was to do in terms of communication, right? Because one of my goals for 2019 was to increase the communication with our staff, with our communities, and with the investors database, right? With all the people, we've raised $100 million in equity, and it's our duty to share with them our story and let them know how their investments are doing and where we're going and strategy. And, you know, I can write, but I don't have time to write everything or come up with like the concept, you know. And so you and John have just done an amazing job, you know, being able to communicate our story. Well, what is it that you like about what you do at Rockstar?
So, storytelling to begin with, but I've been here for 10 months, and so far I haven't written stories about anyone like specifically, because I've been spending those 10 months getting to know everyone, getting to know their stories. And since Rockstar is growing so fast, I get to see them grow, and that's, you know, more stuff I have to tell about them. So going into 2020, I'm really excited to finally get those stories out. And, you know, before they didn't talk to me because they didn't know who I was, right. But now that they know who I am, they're like, oh, yeah, they tell me a lot more. So that's a lot more I can tell about them.
You know, I think with every position that we create, especially when it's the first time and it's not an established position, you know, it's so easy to understand what a property manager does because we've done it for so long. It's so easy to understand what a regional manager is supposed to do. But even in those, some of those roles, right, where we didn't have a head of marketing, like what is a head of marketing supposed to do, right? What is a VP of operations supposed to do? Like what is a financial analyst? Like the, doing it for the first time, you learn, right? And so adding your roles, it was new to us. And so let's have a frank conversation. What was it that you thought you were going to do? And what is it are you actually doing? Is it or are they the same?
Well, it actually drastically changed.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's where I was going. I thought we had some a good conversation on this.
Yeah, so where I started was actually I was going to be more writing for you and working with you more closely. But then John was picked for that position. Mm-hmm. I think he does an amazing job. He does great. He's built a great relationship with you and Sam.
Yeah.
But then I was switched to more of the Rockstar story and telling that. And honestly, I really enjoyed the transition and like the changing of my duties and responsibilities and adding on to it as well. With like Google, I'm the one posting to the Google My Business.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Things now. So yeah, I get to help with that. And I'm just really excited to learn more about marketing because it was my minor.
Yes.
But I want to learn more about it in a major way.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you have a better teacher you're going to find than in Tracy. I, you know, have you all talked about 2020 goals on how y'all's roles are going to change this year or new responsibilities or new ways to present?
No, we actually haven't, but I'm sure with the beginning of the year, we're going to have a team meeting, get together, discuss all those things, discuss new roles, changing roles. And I'm really excited for that to get together and to establish a baseline and work off from that.
So I want to do more internal communication. And mm-hmm. I think you were involved in that meeting yesterday, right? Where we had the big business meeting, the big business plan reveal, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think what I said was, did you learn a lot of stuff that you had not heard?
Yes, okay. I have. Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, you 18 that were in that group, right? But there's 100 plus in our company, right? Yes. I think we need someone to get that story out to them mm-hmm. and explain to them what's out there. And so I think we need to discuss like how we get more people's opinions. Well, number one, inform them of mm-hmm. what's going on. I think when you all share the same mind, when you understand the business plan, it's easier for you to react accordingly, mm-hmm. right? But I also think we need to have more voice from everybody in the company. And so I think more of the individual storytelling was great. I think it's great to tell like Kiwi's story that, you know, she was mm-hmm. a previous babysitter, or Ashley, and then how they've grown into their new positions, right? But I think we also need more more public relations, but not necessarily with the outside world. I think we do that pretty well, mm-hmm. more with our inside company. Well, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I want to be able to give our team a voice.
Yes, so currently the only inside communication I really do other than emails is our monthly newsletter. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to speak to people more and get their opinions and everything. I know people don't always come directly to you because you're the big bad CEO.
Oh,
so
whatever.
It might be a little bit easier for them to like come to us. And yeah. I would love to build those.
Because I think there's a lot of ideas, you know. I mean, like I said, I don't lease apartments anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I did when I got started. I was sitting in that chair and I was sitting there and I'm, you know, lease training everybody and making sure that they're doing it the right way. And I would show them how to do it. But it's, you know, time changes and you evolve into new spots, mm-hmm. right? But when I was there, I got to hear what everybody was saying. And I got to hear their ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think we need a way to create a vehicle where there's idea sharing. I know at big companies like Google, what they do is they take people from one department and they have them work in another department for a short amount of time. And you get to hear what they're doing. And sometimes a problem comes up, right? And you're like, oh, we can't figure this out. And then somebody comes in from a completely different part of the world, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, wow, well, have you tried this? I'm like, no, I didn't. Because you get so tunnel vision, right? And so I want to make sure that we're constantly innovating and evolving and not just following the normal ways. I mean, you're here today because I decided to go against the norm and I listened to Gary Vee talk about like storytelling and how to build your brand, you know. But had I not done that, we would still be in the same tunnel vision mentality, which many of my peers are in, you know. And so I think that gives us a competitive advantage, but it's always another level that you can take and more access. And I think that could be something that you guys evolve into and how to really tell our stories. Plus, whatever ideas you have. I mean, you're listening, you're watching, you're very, you're one of the people that just listens a lot.
Yes.
And you're watching, but you have a lot of ideas. I know you do. And I'd like to get some of that mm-hmm. to the surface, though.
Yeah, I'm much more of a listener than a talker. You know, if you give me a cup of coffee, I'll talk your ear off all morning.
Oh, well, let's do it.
Most of the time.
A little bit of lemon cake,
too. I just
too.
Listen. I like to learn, and you don't listen when you're talking, or you don't learn too much when you're speaking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where do you see this company going? Or where do you see yourself evolving in the future into here? What is it you'd like to do?
It is, you know, I'm not good at predicting the future.
Yeah.
But I only see success. You gave us that big opportunity mm-hmm. With the fund. And honestly, I already knew when you brought it up that I was going to, you know, be taking advantage of that opportunity.
Wonderful.
Because I believe in you and your work ethic. And, you know, you care about investors, whoever they are, however much they invest. You want them to be happy and successful along with you. You don't want to rise to the top on your own. And that's something you don't see a lot in corporations today.
I really appreciate that. It reminds me of the story that Sam shared yesterday where, you know, he was one of my earliest investors back mm-hmm. in 2008. I didn't even have Rockstar yet. I was at another company where I was the operating arm. Mm-hmm. And he invested in that deal solely because I put my money into that deal. And he's like, I know you and I know how hard you work. And I know you're not gonna let anything happen to your kids' money. And if my money's next to yours, then my money's protected. And so that's the same thing I would say to you and anybody else is that that's how I treat it. You know, every deal has my cash in it, but it also has my investors' cash. Many of them are close friends, family members, you know, my mom's in these deals, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure you protect them. So that means the world to me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, not a problem.
Next up is Jonathan Richter. John, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Man, it is crazy, right? I mean, you're there next to me all the time.
I know.
It's like, I mean, somebody mentioned earlier on another podcast, like, you don't know what's going to happen today. And that's kind of how it feels.
Oh, yeah. Every day is an adventure. Kind of like Ashley was saying, it's hard to plan your weeks. Tracy has us, you know, send what we think we'll be working on, and without fail, it's never accurate.
No, no. Welcome to Rockstar Capital.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens when you have a growing company.
Yeah, my favorite is getting a call from Sam, like on a Monday morning, saying, hey, can you come over to my place? We need to connect about something. And it always means that there's something big coming up.
All right, so you're obviously playing a bigger and bigger role in the business. You're telling our stories, but tell a little bit more. Tell everybody who you are, how you found Rockstar, and what it is that you do.
All right. My name is Jonathan Richter. I am 23 years old, and I started at Rockstar.
Was that for the single ladies, or was that just to let everybody know?
No, I'm engaged.
You didn't say that.
But
it wasn't part of your bio.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was born in a log cabin that I built with my own hands.
Wonderful.
I went to college at Texas A&M University, your alma mater, and I got a degree in agricultural communications and journalism. Because there actually wasn't a journalism major offered by the school whenever I came in as a freshman. And then my sophomore year, they brought it back.
Oh.
I thought.
I remember that when I was in school, they were getting rid of it.
Yeah, it was like they got rid of it just in time for me to start and then brought
Which
it back.
Which is interesting because they created a lot of liberal journalists that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so it was weird. It was an ag major, but there were a lot of people in there who weren't very interested in ag. And I did 4-H for 10 years growing up. Had a little bit of an ag background. My family raised show rabbits, and I was a mutton buster back in
the Were you one of the
days.
Little kids that gets on the back of the sheep and runs and then gets thrown off, and everybody's like, yay, the 9-year-old, 7-year-old got thrown off.
I have a hilarious picture it's about this big, but it's on Facebook. I'll send it to you. And it is from the stands at the Austin Rodeo, and all the picture is just a white blur in the bottom of the fairgrounds. As it's been told to me, because I don't remember, that was ages ago, the sheep came to a sudden halt while I was riding it, and it flipped me up over off of it, but because I had such strong hands, I suppose, I held on and forced the sheep into a forward somersault on top of me and got kicked up pretty bad, and I was half a second away from winning a belt buckle.
Mm.
I'll never forget that.
But you still lost, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure that was that.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm just playing with you, John.
It's my,
John, we have a really good relationship. Okay, keep going. Tell me the story.
Okay.
Tell me the story.
So graduated from Texas A&M, mm-hmm. where I met my beautiful fiance, mm-hmm. JD, who also now draws your comics.
Dude, she's amazing. Your, I mean, I have that. I'm going to get it framed. It's amazing. I've never imagine getting a self-portrait, like, or not a self-portrait, what would you call it? A portrait.
Yeah,
just a portrait of yourself. And it just, like, made my year. It was so nice. And I'm going to get it framed. So please tell your lovely fiancé, thank you very much.
Okay, absolutely.
Well received.
She was so excited the whole time doing it. And I kept wanting to tell Tracy or Sam. And we were trying to keep it a surprise, which was hard to do.
You did it. I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if she told you, but she had been working on it when you guys came over for dinner.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
We put it in a closet and just hoped that you didn't really care about what the layout of our apartment complex was.
I wasn't going to snoop around. I mean, I don't do those things. That's creeper stuff.
So, focusing back in.
Yes.
I feel like I can get off track very easily.
We can.
Graduated from Texas A&M and looked for jobs for forever and found nothing. Eventually connected with my parents' neighbors, actually. They worked at a plumbing company downtown Houston in West U, and she needed a marketing assistant. And marketing wasn't something that I had, you know, really thought, man, this is what I went to school for, but I did have a fair amount of experience from my major because it was so broad. I worked at that plumbing company for about 6 to 8 months. And then similar to Sarah, I was messaged by a recruiter on LinkedIn who said, hey, I'm looking for somebody for this job. Do you think you know somebody who'd be interested? And I said,
classic recruiter line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it works. Living proof. And so I went through the interview process with Rockstar, got started, and started about 9 to 10 months ago, last May. I'm not good at math, but I'm a writer. I started as an executive brand strategist, and the initial idea was that I was going to take your thoughts and sort of transcribe them onto paper to help you with LinkedIn articles, some of your social media posts, and sort of all of the content that you put out, just kind of helping to guide it. Some of the I schedule these podcasts that we do and made sure that I got put on one. One of my favorite things is a couple of podcasts ago, you asked Ashley, you know, what did you get hired to do and what do you do now?
Yes.
Because it's always different.
It's true. That's why I've asked that question a couple of times, because it's what happens in a growing company.
Oh, yeah. And it's, I think, having that quality of not necessarily being easygoing, but being willing to do whatever it takes to help the company or do something that you initially, you can't have a that's not my job mentality. And I think that people who have a that's not my job mentality aren't really cut out for business anyways. I've since taken on an investor relations role where I work directly under Sam Morris, the CIO, as well. So for all of you investors, when you send an email, I'm usually the person who responds. I've become somewhat of an event planner, reaching out to venues as we've started to do more and bigger investor events. Helping to coordinate those, find a location, find a sound company, help figure out what the pricing's going to be. As I've, you know, grown with Rockstar, I've also taken on roles that kind of put me closer to you, where I help you select your content that you post for each day, helping to make sure that everything that you have in a given week is scheduled in a way that's that makes sense and is easy for you. It's been, I'm very grateful for this sort of unique opportunity that I think I have where I get to work as closely with you and also with Sam, the CIO. And man, like I learn so much. And sometimes it's not even whenever it's mostly whenever I'm not even asking questions. But with you and Sam specifically, like a 5-minute phone call with Sam can turn to 20 minutes very easily just because he takes the time to stop and explain what's happening or what it is that we're working on rather than me just know that a certain word or investing term exists. He'll stop and explain, you know, what the difference between, you know, return over investment or return on investment.
That's a high-end concept you just brought up.
Yeah, and he, I've spent a lot of time in his office and his home in Katy just learning and sort of trying to absorb as much as I can. And I'm grateful that that's an opportunity that's been afforded to me.
Well, thank you for joining our company, and I'm going to reshare the story I shared with Sarah, your counterpart, is that, you know, we walked in thinking we needed one, and we got tremendous candidates who were interviewing. I mean, I think we got four candidates. One, we're like, it was a definitely no, and then we were done. We were going to hire the two pretty girls, right? I mean, they can write. They were good.
That doesn't include me?
No. Oh, okay. And then you came in, and like, well, there's one more interview that they want you to have. All right. You know, so you're kind of like an afterthought, John. But you were very good, and we're like, what are we going to do? We had this massive decision. We were sitting there with everybody and thinking, what are we going to do? It's like, all right. You know, and I luckily, I did a little bit of business instinct. I said, you know what? You don't know what you want. You think you do, but you don't. So you better hire all three and either find a role for them, right, or survival of the fittest kind of mentality. You know, almost Lord of the Flies. I think that was how that movie went, right? Popped up my iTunes the other day, so it's in my head.
And you don't want to be piggy.
No, you don't want to be piggy. He dies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm making sure. It's been a long time. But I was so amazed at how good you guys are, you and Sarah, you know. And I spent a lot of time with you, but I definitely need to get a little more time with Sarah because I think she's very talented as well, and I think there's a lot more. And as I understand your capabilities, right, I mean, it's just I get more hungry. I want to like, okay, we can do this and we can do that and we can do this. And I think it's a credit to both of you that you're able to, you have such good spirits, you have such good attitudes, you know, just like whatever it takes to get the job done. And I think you're both sponges. You both want to learn. And that's a great trait to have, right? Because in a company like this, there's a lot to learn. And what I'm waiting for next in both of y'all's development is to learn to ask like, well, can we do this? Can we do that instead of just like following direction? Like, okay, but what about this and what about that? And, you know, and so I'm waiting for that. That's going to come next. I see it as you guys both get comfortable and you start to understand what your roles are and what we do really and how we're changing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think it's amazing because you guys are really important to tell that story, that Rockstar Capital story, to the communities, to the investors, to the prospects, and to the wider world. You know, you guys, and I wish Sarah was back on here. I mean, you guys are in charge of, like, you know, putting us out there. And we've won so many awards this year because we got our name out. Submitting for this award, submitting for that award. That doesn't happen without the right people there to do it. We may have a great story, but if nobody knows about it, then you don't exist. You know, and it goes back to like everybody has a brand. Some are just more well-known than others. And you guys help our brand come out. And it's a major piece of what we do. And, you know, as I had Ashley and I had Tracy out earlier and then with Caleb, it's like I look at you guys and I really get goosebumps because it is such an amazing, amazing opportunity that we have in this company that we've been blessed to have the resources to hire you. And then to go and bring you guys in, and then I'll just let you grow and tell this story and move forward. It brings so much attention. I mean, Tarka Musa, right, found us this year, right? But he doesn't find us without you guys. He doesn't find us there. We don't win the Stevie Award. We don't win that AIM Award. We don't do all these other awards that we get recognized on that. I'm sure some people are kind of getting tired of us winning these awards, right? But hey, you know, don't like it, stop it. You know, you guys are helping us tell that story, and it is great for morale. It's great because it reminds you who we are. And sometimes, you know, we get not complacent, but you just get into the everyday mundane routine, you know. And with you guys, there's always something new. There's always something going. And I keep telling myself, you have the bullets. Fire the bullets. You know, fire the bullets. They want to get fired. They want to get used. They want to be put into positions, you know. And so now as our company starts to evolve, and, you know, we're adding a big national fund soon, and we're going to be, you know, looking for investment equity and speaking about it. I'm like, there's no way it could just be me doing it, or me and Sam, or me and Melissa, or just me, Sam, and Tracy. I mean, it's like, you know, how are we going to do this? You got to have all those people there helping you with it. And, you know, it's been an absolute treat to have you guys here. Tell me a little bit more about what your perception is of the company, and maybe, hey, volunteer some stuff. Tell me what it is that you want
to
do.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, the point you brought up about sort of reminding people who we are. And I think there's a, to what me and Sarah specifically do, there's a, an internal effect there where, you know, a lot of the things that people see that you say or that the content that we post, a lot of the time it's hitting on the same points. It's hitting on that we value heart over talent. You can teach talent, but you can't teach heart. Little anecdotes like that, but just the value that constantly re-bringing up those points and sort of redoubling down on, yes, this is who we are. It reminds me of whenever I was a kid and, you know, before I'd go off to a 4-H camp or whatever, wherever it was that I was going, my parents would always say, hey, remember who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a total like, all right, whatever, mom. But now I think about it and, how, it kind of recenters you.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds not just you, but everybody in this company, you know, what our values are. And it makes it a lot easier to follow through with that. It's not like a New Year's resolution that you say, I want to do this, but then you don't really think about it. And 3 months pass by and you say, oh man, that's a total wash. It's, the more that you broadcast, not just your goals, but your values, the more you're forced to deliver on those.
It's a wonderful, I want to jump in there. That's a wonderful thing. I think that's a big part of our goal setting, right? Is that people are like, why do you talk about the awards? Why do you talk about these goals? Why? Because you have to. That's how you're going to achieve them. You create these crazy goals, you know, and then what do you know? Things happen. Like one of the goals I said, right, is like, I think we'll make a national TV appearance. Because I'm like, okay, I had no opportunities to do a national TV appearance anywhere. But I'm saying them, and I'm saying them. And I believe that they're going to happen. In fact, there's already a couple little whispers of an opportunity to do something here and there. And you're like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, how does that happen? Like, I don't know how the world, the universe, God, whatever you want to, you know, believe in. But there's something to it, right? Yeah. And so I think you have to share your goals. You have to let somebody know that these are your goals. And then next thing you know, they start to happen. You start to believe in it. And when you sleep at night, you start to marinate and stuff. And, you know, you're like, what if I do this? What if I do that?
I think at a baseline, it's the same as whenever you're trying to remember a phone number and you just repeat it to yourself over and over and over in your head until you can just, it becomes
reflex. Wow, that's really astute.
So that, you know, whenever someone asks you, you know, hey, what do you want to do? If you've told yourself, this is what I want to do, this is my dream, this is where I'm going, it becomes a reflex. You don't have to think about it, which is a big deal for me. I'm the kind of guy who, like, a cashier asks my name, and I say, Jonathan. You know, like, it takes me a moment to process that, but there are these the more that you process something over and over again, the more it becomes a part of who you are, something that you subconsciously do it. And I think that to answer your question you asked about, you know, what do I think about Rockstar? I think that it's a company that does put its money where its mouth is with its values and where it goes. It's a very unfaltering commitment to all of that. And I think it's also a company that... on this latest project that we've been working on, you've been talking about how, you know, 2020 is going to be a big year. We're starting to grow extremely rapidly, but we're not letting that happen to us. We're preparing for that growth. And companies that I've worked for in the past very much had the capacity to grow, and they hit this bottleneck and then never did anything to change the shape of the company. So nothing else could get through. It's one of the most frustrating things in the world to be at a company that's, you know, has the potential to grow, but just can't get what they need to done to facilitate that growth. And I see Rockstar as something that's, I mean, the fact that you hired a journalism team before you needed one, you just knew this is something that a direction I want to see the company go. We're going to hire these people, see how it goes. If the project fails, that's fine, it fails. But at least we won't say that we didn't try whenever we could have. And that's a huge value that I think Rockstar adds. I mean, I don't know I can't say, kind of like Sarah said, I'm not good at predicting the future. I don't know what my specific role will be, you know, 2-5 years from now. But I think that the trajectory that I see things going on, I mean, you could have a whole team of Little Johns that, not the rapper, but Little Me's that walk around just following you, taking your thoughts down on paper, learning from you, and then taking, sort of learning how to be you almost so that they can take those thoughts, yeah, and put them down on paper. And I would like to be that guy who knows you to a T uncomfortably to be able to say this is what he would say, this is what he wouldn't say, and to sort of reach that point where you don't even have to think twice about it. You mentioned at the meeting yesterday that you one of your things you value is being able to have somebody that you know is so good that you can ask them to do a task, and then you don't have to think about it.
Know it gets done. Yeah, because again, it wasn't like that at the beginning. It was a very different company. It was where you're the owner, the operator, but you're also every other position in between, and you have to do everything yourself. And the hardest thing in time is learning to let go. But why do you fear letting go? Because you're afraid you don't have enough talent and core competency around you. And that's the truth when you're getting started, right? Because you're on a budget. You can't go get those kind of talents. I am so blessed that in 2020, that we're at this spot we're in. It is just an overwhelming joy that I get to, that I sleep with at night, knowing that we have y'all's group together. It is such a shot of like next level stuff, that it pushes us, it forces us to grow, and I know you're always going to be, you're the first text I get most mornings and it's like, oh, it's John again. It's like, I gotta be, here's my calendar reminders. Here's the articles that we're going to talk about today. And I told you, I had a conversation. I go, listen, I get busy and early bird gets the worm. You're going to have to keep knocking. You're going to have to keep knocking on that door if you want me to get my attention. And yeah, you text and you call at the wrong times all the time, but eventually you get my attention and we get that product out and it stays consistent. And so you're following that to a T. And again, you've been an amazing addition to the team. Thank you so much. It's been awesome. That was a very special episode of The Apartment Rockstar. Tracy and her marketing team have literally increased the IQ of this business, and you surround yourself with heart, you surround yourself with talent, but you got to have a lot of brain power too. You got to, can't be the only guy coming up with the ideas. You got to have people that are there coming up with ideas and then, man, more importantly, execute. Right? Nobody gets paid until you execute on the ideas. Somebody once had the idea for Uber, but you know what? We don't know them. We know Uber. Somebody once had the idea for Netflix, but we don't know them. It's called Netflix, right? So it's like you got to surround yourself with as much talent, hard work, work ethic, commitment, and brain power. And I think that'll be something that I'm learning. We've really increased our future capacity with the addition of the digital marketing team. So thank you to Tracy, to Kayla, to Ashley, to Sarah, to John. Thank you guys so much. You've been an amazing addition. You're going to definitely power our next 10 years. Thanks, guys. And hey, thank you for watching the Apartment Rockstar podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share with your friends, tell everybody about it, and watch next week's episode. See you later.
You've been listening to the Apartment Rockstar podcast with Robert Martinez. For more content, follow Robert on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar and subscribe to our YouTube channel. This has been a production of Rockstar Capital. Thank you for listening.